Today's edition of the Between the Ropes podcast is brought to you by Suplex Apparel. Haven't checked them out yet online? Well, what are you waiting for? I've been talking about them for a while. Go to suplexapparel.com and check out all the great clothing that they have. It's pro wrestling focused clothing for wrestlers and for fans. And they're a UK-based clothing brand, and they work with some of the best in the business. They have a great group of professional wrestlers that have teamed with them, including Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Zack Sabre Jr., Prince Devitt, Gail Kim, and Helico, and others. They've got great gear that you are going to enjoy wearing anytime that you go out. And it's not goofy-looking wrestling shirts, stuff that maybe just you like. It's great-looking gear that you'll be proud to wear anywhere and anytime that you go out. You can get a great t-shirt there. They've got a ton of choices to make from the t-shirts. They've got jackets, hoodies, hats, rucksacks, and other things that you are going to enjoy. And they have gear for both men and women. Plus, Suplex Apparel ships worldwide. Great gear you are going to enjoy anywhere that you are in the world. Check them out online at suplexapparel.com. Become part of the Suplex Apparel team. Happy holidays, everybody. Hope you had a good time. Brian Fritz, Michael Wiseman back here on the Between the Ropes podcast. Michael was a naughty boy this year, so he got a stocking full of coal.
No. I asked for some fuel to keep my fireplace going. Santa Claus delivered. You
have a coal-fueled fireplace.
Set your expectations. Yeah, well, sometimes, you know, we can't afford the nice things in life. I bet you have one of those kerosene heaters probably in your place, don't you?
I live in Florida. I needed my air conditioner to continue to generate a lot of power.
You know how my air is conditioned? By the outside, the great outdoors, the flaps of the birds and their wings as they coast by my windows conditions my air, Brian. Okay.
The times that I, and this is a true story. Last year there was a couple of days where it was cooler and I opened up the windows, opened up my slider in my living room, and a couple of birds actually flew into my place and just kind of roamed around a little bit and then flew out.
Oh, wow. So you had a pet for a brief moment in time.
It was great. I mean, animals love me. I don't know if you know this, but there's a natural attraction from wildlife to me. I'm soothing to them. I'm comforting.
Are you calling your wife a wildlife? Is that what's happening right now?
Oh, wow.
It's a natural attraction here.
Oh, my God. That's the fighting words, man. I'm going to have to get a Jack Gallagher glove over here, man.
Challenge you to a duel. A duel. That made me Alexander Hamilton, right? You're Richard Burr. I'm Alexander Hamilton.
How about I be Aaron Burr, not Richard Burr?
Richard Burr. Oh, Lord. Oh, that's
an embarrassing
profile.
See, we're taping this in the morning. We normally tape at night, and we're taping this in the morning, so your brain is not, fully woken up yet, I guess.
You're just going to rewind and restart, right? That's this is all good, right?
I think I know what the problem is, Michael. At night, you're used to being boozed up a little bit, and this is the morning, so are you drinking despite us taping it at an earlier hour?
Well, so here's the deal. We normally do boozing with Between the Ropes because we're on that evening happy hour shift, right? Today, it's brunch with Between the Ropes.
Oh.
So while I do not have a bottle to pop open or a can to crack, I do have a nice cup of coffee, and what I will say is this. Coffee is very good at masking. Let's say you put a little Jack Daniels in there with it. You have your nice little morning cup of Joe and whiskey. So there you go.
I believe it's Irish whiskey is what you're supposed to put with your cup of coffee.
Yeah. Well, I'm not Irish, so.
Well, or as you watch the movie Elf, as he thinks, syrup is a great addition to coffee.
Syrup's a great addition to everything, according to Elf. So I'm drinking coffee, and maybe I added a little bit of, a little bit of Jackie D's or a little bit. I got some Irish cream from my aunt over the weekend, so it's perfect for a little Bailey's, put that in there?
Yeah, Bailey's would go really good. Did you put some whipped cream on the top, too?
That'll just weaken down the alcohol, dude. I want straight liquor. I mean, it's how you make an Irish coffee, right? You just put in about 3/4 cup, Jackie D's, and put a few sips of coffee in there, and sprinkle of sugar, and you're good.
There you go, man. You know how to do it. So, how was the holidays for you?
The holidays were good. I did stuff. I went to church and repented for all of my sins.
It didn't burn down when you stepped through the doorway, or?
They did well, you know. People running and screaming. I had a few exorcism was set up to kind of get the demons out of me for my comments on this show, mostly.
Did the pastor go and say, "And you are, and you're here because"?
Right. I had to confess my sins, say my Hail Marys. No, it's just, you know, traditional Christmas Eve service with the candle and the Moravian love feast where you get some bread and eat hot cocoa. So. Did all that, had a pretty good Christmas, and got some Ninja Turtles paraphernalia, some comics, some things like that.
Nice.
Keeping it real. And what about you?
The normal stuff we do, just kind of low-key dinner with the family before Christmas. And the day of, it's just I cook. I make a lasagna every year and a ham. And,
nice.
Basically, here's how my day typically starts. I wake up in the morning, and I cook all the meat and the sauce, and I put it on a simmer. And then get a nice cup of coffee, and then I watch Die Hard.
Perfect.
Which is true. I do watch Die Hard every Christmas.
And I was going to ask if you had a Christmas movie or what your Christmas movie was.
Oh, Die Hard. But but I like watching Elf as well.
Yeah. We watch Elf. We watch Elf every year. And this year, I rotated in Batman Returns a couple years ago because that movie takes place on Christmas, and it's creepy as hell.
Right.
This year I did Nightmare Before Christmas because, you know, let's do a little bit of Halloween Town. That's perfect. So
I will, I love watching movies, as you know, and as a lot of people know, because we've also done our, you know, other podcasts from time to time. But I will proudly say that I've never seen this movie. And people say I'm crazy. And because I have yet to see it, I hope to go through my entire life without watching it because it's now a quest of mine. And that movie is A Christmas Story.
Oh, what? You've never seen it?
I've never seen it. And now I'm like, I never want to see it. I want to be that guy that says he's never seen it. Even though it's on for 24 hours straight on two different cable channels around the holidays. I kind of know what happens as a kid. There's a BB gun. You know, someone's get their tongue stuck to a pole. You know, I mean, I know the gist.
You know the IMDb shorthand description. Which, you know,
it's the same thing with me with The Wizard of Oz. I've never seen The Wizard of Oz, but I know the Cliff Notes version of it. I don't need to see The Wizard of Oz.
Are you just that much of a contrarian that you just don't like watching movies that are considered popular in pop culture?
Well,
like,
here's the thing with The Wizard of Oz. Okay, so when I was a kid, my mom never wanted me to watch it because when she was a kid, it scared the bejesus out of her, apparently. So she thought it would scare her kids. So she did not let me and my sister watch it when we were younger. And then
I'll tell you what, back in the day, they really earned those G ratings, didn't they?
I know, right? So she thought it was creepy. So, you know, as I've grown up, it's just like, okay, you know, I've seen like a little clip here and there, and I'm like, okay, it's a classic, but I don't think I'm really going to be interested in, you know, bad singing and whatever else goes through with this. So it's like, I know the story and I don't feel a need to go see the movie.
Okay. I'll give you a pass.
Well, thank you. I mean, you're about the only person that has
Christmas Vacation.
Of course. Are you kidding me? I was upset because that is not streaming for free on Amazon Prime. It's not on Netflix. It was on the Disney Family Channel a couple of times, and like you've got commercials and censorship.
Yep.
And you can't censor that movie.
Yep, it's true.
Cousin Eddie should not be censored. Okay.
The Disney Channel is terrible about that. They show. Well, I guess that's Freeform now, right? It's not even
right,
Disney Family.
Right, but why are they showing Christmas Vacation?
Actually, I think it hasn't been Disney Family in like a decade, Brian. I think it was Disney Channel and then Disney Family and then ABC Family before it's now Freeform, which has been for a year.
I just know that on my guide, it said like Family. And I thought it was Disney Family. And
wait. You went way back to the Family Channel back when it was just the Family Channel.
I was just sipping through one day. I was like, what movies are on? And I was just like, hey, look, there's Christmas Vacation. And I was like, wait, this is a Family Channel. What the hell is that?
I feel like we've talked about this on the air before, but do you know that the Family Channel has some kind of weird deal? You know, they show the 700 Club twice a day.
Sure.
Okay. So they have some kind of weird deal they worked out back when they were still the Family Channel and they were transferring over ownership to Disney and to ABC, to where the only stipulation was that as long as they are on the air, they have to keep the 700 Club on the air and show it, I think, twice a day.
Mm.
Isn't that weird?
It's extremely strange.
Pat Robertson. But you know what else?
When's Sting going to be back on that show? He was on that show.
Wrestling with Shadows? I don't know. Wrestling with Demons.
That was the Bret Hart.
He did the whole Sting did that movie. There was the Sting.
Yeah.
Salvation. What is it?
Oh, I know. I got a copy of it sent to me.
What? Do you?
I don't have it anymore, but I did have one sent to me at the time.
It was just, I remember seeing him on TBN or something back in the day, and he would go on there and talk about how he was in sin, and I was like, well, you never joined the NWO. Like, how bad could it have been?
I'm trying to find the name of that movie, but yeah.
Oh.
I did have a copy of it.
Moment of Truth, was that it?
And that sounds right. That sounds right, yeah.
Moment of Truth. Yep, that's it. A movie of power, pain, and ultimate triumph. Yes, I will add it to my wish list. Thank you very much. So I did do something else over the holiday. Of course, it is, if you are in North America and you are a college football fan, it is bowl season. And I watched my NC State Wolfpack whoop up on Vanderbilt in the something, 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 who gives a crap bowl.
Is that something to be proud of?
Yeah, well, you know, we're no longer an even team. We're a 7-6 team. So.
Wow, look at you.
There we go.
I did get caught up, and I'm finally all the way caught up on watching Sherlock Holmes.
Are you? Okay.
Yes. Because the new season starts January 1st. And I swear, I literally had to do this. I had to go through my channel guide and figure out where PBS is so I could watch the new season.
Oh, like a chump. Let's do a quick prediction here since we kind of are dancing around all sports a little bit.
Right.
Saturday, playoffs.
Yes.
College football playoffs. What are your predictions for the day?
Well, the two games are, why can't I think of the two games?
Washington and Bama.
Right.
Clemson and Ohio State.
I will say that I believe Alabama.
Okay.
Which is an easy pick.
Yep.
And I'm going to say Clemson in the other game.
Okay.
And I think Alabama's going to win the whole thing. Which is kind of chalk.
Right. Well, this is an easy year to predict it, right? Alabama is basically undefeatable. I disagree. I think, and I'm an ACC boy, right? I'm an NC State fan. I live in ACC country. I have friends and family that went to Clemson, but I think Ohio State has the edge here. Of course, nobody has the edge against Alabama, but I think that's the game that everybody in the country, including the committee, really wants to see is Bama versus Ohio State for the national title.
Sure.
Yeah. There you go. College football minute. Done. This is what happens on brunch with BTR.
Can I be totally honest with you about something?
Of course you can.
I am the longtime producer of UCF Athletics on the radio broadcasts in
Orlando.
Wow. I've been doing this for over 10 years, and I greatly enjoy my UCF nights. I'm also a big fan of Notre Dame. Outside of that, I am really not that big of a college football fan. I keep up with it, but it's not the big... I much prefer the NFL.
Ugh.
Just like I'm not that big of a fan of college hoops... I'll watch them time to time, but I much prefer the NBA. I am a professional snob.
Are you a fan of college wrestling?
No.
You know that NC State actually has a pretty good college wrestling team.
Cool.
That annually competes in the national picture to win the national title.
I mean, every now and then I'll hear about a guy, but I'm not really going out of my way to watch collegiate wrestling.
Well, I'm just saying. It's a feeder system to the pros, dude.
You know what? Beginning next week.
Jack Swagger, Dolph Ziggler.
We will start the Amateur Wrestling Minute, and you will give an update on the best prospects around the country.
Yep.
So now you have other viewing that you have to do during the week, and that's keep up with all the amateur wrestling going on.
Okay, good. I'm gonna go down to the little Pee Wee leagues too, man. We're gonna have a feeder system from 5-year-olds to 55-year-olds in the professional wrestling sphere.
Yeah, let me scout that 80-pounder. See if he can make weight this week. Hey, Jimmy, don't go to McDonald's for dinner again, okay? God. All right. Let's get into some wrestling for this week. So it was, you know, after the holidays, WWE kind of getting back in the swing of things. But when it came to Raw, you know, obviously they don't have another pay-per-view until the Royal Rumble, which is coming up, in about 4 weeks from now. And it really felt like just another placeholder show. I don't think there was anything really wrong with it. But at the same time, it was just kind of filling up 3 hours of time, and nothing really stood out again this week. I thought it was a little bit better than the previous week's show, and I'm glad they're not doing some of the hokey Christmas stuff that they've done in years past, but nothing really stood out again about the show this week.
Yeah, it was, you know, it felt like not quite as autopilot as I'd expected, but a mostly insignificant show. I did like they set up a main event they could build towards throughout the evening with Kevin Owens fighting for the United States Championship, potentially becoming the first ever dual champion, Universal United States Champion.
They didn't even make a big deal about that.
Yeah.
And let me ask you this point, too, because I really don't know the answer, and I'm sure somebody out there does. How many times has Roman Reigns defended that title? Like three?
Yeah. He's not the fighting champion that John Cena was.
He is. I mean, he is putting that 30-day clause to work, you know, apparently, you know.
Who's going to call him on it? Where's Sergeant Slaughter to call him on it these days, right?
I guess Stephanie McMahon or Mick Foley has to call him on it. So where's Sergeant Slaughter to call him on it?
I'm just saying, you know, Sergeant Slaughter gets out there and spits up a whole lot and just, you know, says his thing.
What, is John Cena going to shame him over on SmackDown? When I was the U.S. champion, I was a fighting champion.
There's a reason the United States Championship has lost its prestige over the last, really, 12 months. But especially since Roman Reigns has taken over. And it's because this title has not been defended the way it was the past year. John Cena did wonders for that championship. And I really wish they treated it more like a TV title, like a working man's championship. I think it would mean more when somebody captured it. Otherwise, right now, it just feels like a prop for Roman Reigns to sling over his shoulder like a club or you know, a satchel or whatever it is, the way he carries it.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't really meant that much. And you know what? And I'll say this, too. As good as Kevin Owens has been, when you look at his championship run so far, it's not been special. It's been rather lackluster, and they just haven't given him much to do with it. I mean, they haven't made that championship more important. They haven't geared him up for big championship matches. I like the stuff that he's doing with Jericho. I think that's been, you know, really, really good stuff, and he plays the role exceptionally well. But they have not done him any favors when it comes to being, you know, a true, strong fighting champion.
I agree. And especially to be a guy that was booked as this ultra-competitive prize fighter type persona. I mean, he really did have kind of, not that he was Brock Lesnar-esque, but he had that Brock Lesnar mentality about him. I'm a prize fighter. I fight. I don't care about anybody. It's all about me winning in the ring, and I'm a tough and tumble guy. I think what they've hurt him with has not been – the Jericho stuff has been great. That character building, that partnership, that friendship, it's benefited both him and Jericho. But he's not had meaningful victories. He's not had matches where he's went out there and showed that he's the best. And unfortunately, it makes him feel like a mid-carder who happened to win the main prize instead of it being like a guy who is the best in the business defending a championship. He's had so many roll-ups, so many distractions, so many close escapes that he's never had a chance to really cement his status as being the top dog. And I get it. He's a heel. That's going to happen sometimes. But feed him some opponents that he can dominate so that he can have that mystique about him that he came into the company with.
Who really is the person that stood out on Raw that they booked strongly, that they've really, you know, kind of taken another step with over the last, you know, say 4, 5, 6 months with? Because I think you could say the same thing for, you know, Roman, obviously. You could say that about Kevin Owens. I think you could say about Seth Rollins, in that, you know, he's still kind of been in that transition phase to kind of being the baby face and chasing everybody. You know, I guess you could say it about Charlotte, but you know, and she's even played hot potato with that championship for a while. And now, you know, with Sasha Banks, and now she's moved on from that. And, you know, he's going to be facing Bayley next. But outside of that, I mean, I'm not saying that the show has been horrible, because it hasn't been. But you look at some of the guys that you think, okay, you want to build them up, make them stronger, make them stand out and be more important. Yes, they're getting television time. But outside of that, you know, they're just kind of filling a slot.
I agree. Seth Rollins, you mentioned Seth Rollins. This guy was hotter than hell coming into his babyface run. The fans were excited to have him back. You had an easy over with this guy, and it feels like they've squandered some of that. Now, I get it. He had to lose in his feud with Kevin Owens, but It still feels like he spent too much time palling around with Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is not going to be able to get over. They've given him some victories here and there, but again, he's not the guy the fans want to get behind. So the only guy they've pushed with any real consistency has been Braun Strowman.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. Strowman's the one guy that they've really done a lot with. Now, smartly, they're still protecting him a lot because they remember they're still putting him in very short matches. I'm curious to see what they're going to do next week when they finally do the Braun Strowman, Sami Zayn, Last Man Standing match, and how much time do they actually give these guys? They've been working together on house shows,
yeah,
but it's a totally different thing, obviously, when you get on TV and you see where this is going to go. Now, by doing a Last Man Standing match, it's smart because you can use some bells and whistles. You know, you could do some other things. You're not confined to that ring, and that's going to help out, but it's going to be another big step for Strowman, and they made him into this monster. It's just, we'll see what they do. I'm still kind of torn about where exactly do they go with him going forward from a standpoint of, okay, are they really going to do him and Roman at WrestleMania? Will they go all the way with him from a standpoint of, will he win the Rumble match or not? And if he does face Roman, you know, at Mania, is it going to be for the United States Championship? Or is it going to be for the Universal Championship?
I'm not convinced they want to put the Universal Championship on him yet. I don't think he's quite ring ready. He's not had any long matches. And while he's great at going out there and acting like a bull and knocking some people over, to be a champion, you've got to have something a little bit more than that. And I think to be a credible champion or a consistent champion. And so I'm really feeling like this sets up a feud with Roman Reigns for the United States Championship. But again, he's taken out everybody on the roster except for Kevin Owens at this point. And Kevin Owens basically promised him a match for the belt if he retains. So, you know, who knows where they're going with this? I just don't feel like I'm leery, you know? I'm leery about them pushing him too hard, too fast.
Oh, I totally am too, you know? And I've let that be no secret before. But there is an aura about him that they've done a good job in protecting him. The question is, I mean, they do have an opportunity. If they really said, all right, we are going to have this guy challenge for the Universal Championship. Heck, we'll even put the championship on him. If they keep the matches short, and if he is a wrecking ball, because then you could build him up to what Lesnar was for a while. And you could continue this for a while and have a true monster that you really wonder who is going to be able to stop this guy. Who's going to be able to end his reign of terror and take the championship off of him? And you build up to one big match 6 months down the line, whether that's with a Brock Lesnar or a Roman Reigns or Kevin Owens or whoever that might be. You can do something like that, but I don't know if they really want to or if that's even the right decision, considering, you know, the guy's still, I mean, he's learning on the job. I mean, remember when he was brought up, he had less than 10 matches.
Right.
And they have put him in this position and he's doing the best that he can. It's tough. He's trying to do the best they can, but it's still not the best position from a standpoint that he's got a lot of learning to do. And he's in this position where he's being made into a top guy while he's doing that.
I think in an ideal scenario, they're probably going to waste it. So they're probably going to put him out there, have him win the championship, like you said, build him up to be the monster, and use him to get Roman Reigns over. And I think that's a mistake. And I think, again, you're using Roman Reigns in the wrong way. However, if you were to put him out there with the championship, let's say he does win it, maybe even at Mania, maybe he dominates the Rumble and he fights Kevin. We'll get to WrestleMania later. But either way, he wins the title. He holds on to it for 6 months. I think the guy that has to take him down needs to be Seth Rollins, because Seth Rollins is the guy most in need of a good babyface run with that championship. He had a fantastic heel run with that title that was cut short. And now he's over with the fans, and to really cement him as the top babyface on Raw and perhaps in all the company, you give him that good one title, that big victory over Braun Strowman, and a good reign with the championship, because he's just got that edgy babyface look about him, much like CM Punk did, much like John Cena at one point did, much like Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's the kind of face that can be edgy and fun, and the fans are going to love it, but he needs a good title reign. And I think a big victory over Braun Strowman for that championship will set that up.
Yeah, and we'll get some answers to Strowman coming up here at the Royal Rumble. You know, we'll find out exactly, you know, come that night. There's going to be a lot of questions answered, you know, at the Rumble between who wins the Rumble match, who wins between Roman and Kevin Owens, with Chris Jericho suspended above the ring, 200 feet above the ring, according to Chris. Huh, and then that would be a hell of an arena they'd be in, let me tell you.
He doesn't embellish, does he? That's not Chris Jericho.
You're 20 stories up. And then, you know, the other big match that they just announced, too, is they're doing AJ Styles versus John Cena for the World Championship over in the SmackDown side, which, hey, I you know, John Cena can get whatever reaction that he gets. But I'll say this, man. The show feels bigger when he's there, and it really feels bigger when you get serious John Cena out there cutting a promo to begin a show and announcing that he's back and he wants a world title shot, and just the kind of the passion that he brings to the table and everything he's talking about with, hey, you know, all these guys want to shove me to the side, and I'm still here, and I'm going to get this title shot, and I want to be, you know, I want to be the champion again. And that was a good, strong promo by Johnny Boots and Tights to begin SmackDown.
I loved it. I loved it. He came out, addressed some of the issues, things people have been saying about him. And he didn't directly say on SmackDown, I'm here for good, I'm here forever, but he said those are all lies, much like The Rock did whenever he said, I'm coming home. But he addressed it in a very serious manner. He still had a few jokes in there, but he was, you could tell he was serious, he was determined, he was focused, and I think it does set up, like you said, a big feel for SmackDown, and more importantly, a big main event feel for this match he's going to have with AJ Styles at the Rumble.
So John was on Talking Smack, the late edition of Talking Smack now.
The late edition.
Which
with Craig Ferguson.
I know. They got to move that show back up, man, because now that it's on after 205 Live, I mean, it loses a little bit of luster. Well, being on late, obviously, is going to make you lose luster, but also not being straight after SmackDown, I think, hurts it as well. And I would love it if they would put that show right after SmackDown, move 205 Live back a half hour.
Right. The 205 Live is not picking up the slack from what Talking Smack has lost. And nobody's going to tune in. So if you're not going to watch 205 Live, you're not going to tune back in an hour later and watch a half hour show. You will flip over while you're on your couch after watching SmackDown, and then maybe you'll stick around for 205 Live. But if not, you're not going to go to the network because WWE forgets it's an extra step. I have to choose to watch what I want to on the network. By changing over from whatever app or whatever HDMI input I'm on my TV. And so people are less likely to do it for 205 Live, I think. Whereas if you're in the middle of watching Talking SmackDown, that flip to Talking Smack makes sense because that's a show you're already invested in. So I think they're booking it wrong. You hook them with Talking Smack, and maybe they stick around for 205 Live, not the backwards way they've done it.
Well, at least this week they did something smart, is that at the end of SmackDown, they had Neville cutting a promo, talking about how he's going to be Rich Swann over on 205 Live.
Yes.
So they had a little bit of a bridge to promote that, which is something new.
Yeah. You could have done that at the end of Talking Smack, too, though.
Oh, I totally agree, man. But John Cena was on Talking Smack, and he is very forthright when he gets on that show. And it was Daniel Bryan was not there this week, so it was JBL and Renee Young. And JBL, he's not going to back down from asking anything. And he says, hey, you're basically considered a part-timer now. And back in the day, you called out The Rock for being a part-timer. And John was like, yeah, those were some of the dumbest things I've ever said in my life.
Huh.
And he goes,
really?
He goes, I understand it now. He goes, at the time, I said that because I was trying to call out The Rock. I was trying to get him to come back, you know, for a WrestleMania. It worked. But the way that I went about it, I just didn't understand. I didn't understand from Rock's standpoint. You look at that guy now. He's now the highest paid, you know, actor, you know, in the world. And he's a mega movie star. He goes, I didn't understand it then. He goes, I'm here. I want to be here. But if there's another opportunity for myself or anybody else, go and do it because it helps with the reach of WWE. He goes, I've apologized to Rock about it in person. I've apologized about it in public, and I will do it again. But those comments were stupid. And but he says, he goes, hey, you know what? This past year, not a good year for me from a standpoint that he was on the shelf with a shoulder injury. He had other things, so he wasn't at WWE as much as he wanted to be. And he says, if you look at my win-loss record, it sucked. And, you know, he hasn't been able to beat AJ Styles yet. But he says, hey, 2017, I'm going to be around. And he goes, and he went as far to talk about some of this is a work, but some of this is serious. He goes, hey, there's plenty of people here that are looking at me. They don't like that I'm back. They want to push me out of the way. They say that I'm done. I'm finished. I'm a part-time guy. I'm not one of them. You know, I shouldn't be here anymore. And I'm here because I am still, you know, taking my, you know, claiming my spot. And I, you know, goes, hey, I'm going to be 40 coming up this year. And a lot of people think at 40, I should be winding down. I should be getting out of here. He goes, I'm not. He goes, I still want to prove that I'm at the top of my game at the age of 40. And he goes, and I can't wait to have this big match with AJ Styles. And he goes, yes, people will talk about me being a 16-time champion, you know, and tying Ric Flair's record and whatnot. He goes, I'm not even thinking about that. He goes, I just want to be the best that I could be, you know, at this age. And I want to prove that I still deserve everything that I get. And everybody talks about this new era. And there's a lot of great talent that's here, probably the most we've had in about 15 years. And he was even talking about, like, when he got in with Batista and Orton and Lesnar. And he goes, there's a ton of talent now, but he goes, I don't care about this new era stuff. He goes, it's the my time is now era. I am staking my spot. I'm going to be champion again, and I am going to finally do something I haven't been able to do yet, and I'm going to beat AJ Styles at the Rumble.
Interesting.
Yep. I did like it that AJ actually came out and threw down the title in front of him and got in his face and said, oh, you're trying to one-up me. And he goes, you haven't been able to beat me. You know, you can make excuses you want and all this stuff. And Cena was like, hey, AJ has done a great job. He's made himself. He's become a huge star here. And he goes, but he's only had so many big matches on this stage. I've had a ton of them. I've got the experience. He goes, I'm back to 100%. And we'll see exactly what happens.
I think there's a reason, first off, to talk about AJ Styles. There's a reason AJ Styles is a much more legitimate and competitive champion than Kevin Owens on Raw is. And that's because AJ Styles has wins to fall back on. He's beat Dean Ambrose. He's beat John Cena in a meaningful feud. And those things do matter in the long run. He won the triple threat match last night. He looks legitimate as a champion. And he's a heel, right? So
he doesn't get help from other people.
Right.
He goes out there, and if he wants to cheat, he does it on his own. He takes advantage of situations, but he doesn't have anybody doing any dirty work for him. Not to say that that cannot be effective. But right. That is not the way that they have booked Kevin Owens. I mean, if you want to be that's kind of the way that they booked The Miz, and that can be effective for a guy like that. But for Kevin Owens, he's not that kind of guy.
Right, exactly. And AJ Styles doesn't need to resort to that. So I think that's the throwing down of the title is really meaningful. But to address John Cena's comments here, I love the fact that he's calling out the new era of wrestlers right now. I think that really creates something interesting, this whole idea that John Cena is now the outsider, because for so long, John Cena was the establishment. And we do have a new crop of wrestlers who have come in, even guys who have been around longer than John Cena. I'm talking about Samoa Joe or AJ Styles. These guys who have been wrestling for forever, who have come in now as the new era of WWE, John Cena is the outsider to these guys and to the fans who are behind these guys. So I think it's interesting that John Cena is no longer the establishment as much. And it could set up some really interesting feuds down the pipeline. And this AJ Styles one is a prime example of that. I wonder how likely they are to flip him into a bad guy, to maybe make him a heel at some point in the near future. Not saying they will, but that could be a fun run if he is kind of on his way out. But I think it goes to show that John Cena does not have the clout that he once had. He still has a ton of clout, don't get me wrong. But there are guys there to fill in when he's gone, and I think we're in a new direction for WWE overall.
Well, it's one of those where I think he sees that more people are in a position to try to take his spot. And while he wants to do what's best for the company, he wants to protect the spot as well, and he wants to show I'm still the man. It's a new challenge for him, and you look at it saying it can still be beneficial for the entire company because competition is great.
Yes.
And that's what he's out there to do. So we'll talk about Talking Smack in a minute because there was a couple of other things that happened on there. And by the way, so obviously AJ Styles wins his triple threat match, which is a really, really good match. between himself and Dolph Ziggler and Baron Corbin. And yes, Baron Corbin held his own. He did really good. I know some people want to call out that, yes, he missed a spot. He was supposed to break up a pin, and he didn't make it there in time. And AJ had to kick out of a super kick from Dolph Ziggler. But it wasn't something that, you know, affected the match. I mean, there was an easy out to it. Was it a mistake? Yes. Did it hurt the match? No. Corbin looked good. Ziggler looked really good, as always, and so did AJ. AJ looked fantastic. AJ wins, and now it sets up AJ versus John Cena. You know, and it was funny because when we talked about the Royal Rumble just a couple of months ago, we had wondered, would they do The Undertaker against AJ Styles at that show? And it seemed like that was maybe the direction they're going. Without them saying it, it just kind of felt that way. And now they're doing Cena and AJ. So I don't know if they've changed anything, how much discussion there was about Taker, but this is the direction they're now going in.
I wonder what it means. Is John Cena going to win at the Rumble? Is he going to get that 16th World Championship win? Are they going to push that off to WrestleMania at some point? It's a curious situation to be in right now.
Well, here's the thing, too, okay? So when you're talking about the Rumble, you would think, and I could be dead wrong here, they would not change both World Championships.
Right.
Change one or the other.
Yes.
So which one do you think they are more likely to change?
I guess we're going to just lead into WrestleMania right now because I think my predictions have ramifications.
Well, let me throw out another thing, too. Uh-huh. So, all cards are subject to change, but there is already some advanced stuff that's being sent out in the marketplace for, I think it's the Fastlane pay-per-view, which I think is the SmackDown pay-per-view in February.
Yes.
And it looks like AJ Styles versus John Cena in a 2 out of 3 falls match. Now, that doesn't mean anything necessarily.
Right.
But if you want to get into it, we can do right now. We'll get into Guess WrestleMania. Okay, so what are you going to say about it?
You brought John Cena back to reclaim his victory against AJ Styles. I think that's what has to happen. And I believe John Cena wins here. I think he is defending the championship at WrestleMania. And I don't think it will be against AJ Styles. I think it will be against The Undertaker.
I agree. Whether Cena wins it here or not, I still think they're going to find a way to get to Cena versus Taker at WrestleMania. And it's nothing against AJ, but you have the special legends match that you can do, which is the big draw.
Yep.
I mean, AJ understands. AJ wants a match with Taker. Are you kidding me? I don't think he's ever going to get it because I think this is going to be Taker's final match.
Yep.
And
I think that makes sense. I think putting the title, you don't need the championship for this mystique, but I think the interesting thing here is Taker challenging Cena for once. Right.
Right. Yeah. Because now he can say, hey, you are the champion, but what have you really accomplished? Because if you really want to get the big thing done, you want to be the big dog and show that you're one of the all time greats. You have to beat me and you have to beat me at WrestleMania.
I think I'm also going to go on the Raw side of things. I'm sticking with my prediction from last week, Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho. I think you're still setting that up. I don't think it makes sense to move Roman Reigns into that spot at this point. So I think it's Jericho versus Kevin Owens at WrestleMania.
For the Universal Championship.
Yes. And well, I think Jericho wins the Rumble.
Well, here's the thing I'll say about that, because I like that idea. But how do you explain, because the match that they're doing at the Rumble is totally set up for Jericho to try to pass off a weapon to his buddy Kevin Owens, and it backfiring on him, and Roman Reigns beats Kevin for the title, and that has the angst between the two of them, between Jericho and Owens. So what do you do then at this match to where Kevin Owens comes out victorious?
I don't think you set up angst. I think you just have a legitimate interference that causes Kevin Owens to win. That's my prediction. Jericho does slide the weapon, But Kevin Owens uses it effectively.
Because it gives an excuse why Roman lost. But
yes, yeah. Which they always want to have an excuse for that. And then I think Jericho wins the Rumble cleanly. And then I think that's what sets up the feud, the following that on Raw, is those two guys. Because you could tear these guys away apart in some other way, and that might make sense. But I think this feud benefits from the added stipulation of a title being on the line.
And then what do you do the February pay-per-view for Reigns? Does he get a rematch against Owens?
Maybe one more rematch. Yeah.
But he would have to lose that again.
Right.
So you're going to have Roman Reigns lose twice before WrestleMania.
Well, yes. What do you think?
I don't know, man. It's really difficult. I mean, I'm going to chicken out here a little bit, but yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I like that direction. Those are the matches I would like to see, but I got a feeling you're probably wrong. Because, I mean, they're still going to put Roman Reigns in a really good spot at WrestleMania.
Okay, so you think Reigns wins the title at the Rumble thanks to the misuse of the weapon.
Yeah.
And that sets up the feud for Jericho Owens. So what do they do with Jericho and Owens at the next pay-per-view?
Well, they could have a match and then they could bring it back at Mania, and they could even do something where...
I guess Owens gets a rematch, right? I guess Owens gets a rematch.
Right, Owens gets a rematch. Yep, and he loses the rematch and then they do it at Mania. Yep, yeah.
Okay, that makes a lot of booking sense.
And,
so,
then they do Strowman against Roman.
Yeah, you Strowman against Roman.
But you know what? That's going to be tough from this standpoint, okay? You could do that if you're talking about a fast lane or you're talking about Roadblock or whatever. To already put Braun Strowman in that position of a WrestleMania.
Yep.
That's really tough. That's really
tough.
Unless
you do a Punjabi prison match, you can't do it.
Do they have enough time to set up a Punjabi prison? You know, I mean.
Yeah. It would also mean you would have to essentially, you'd have to win the Rumble, right? We're going to assume, unless Taker makes a surprise appearance at the Rumble and wins it to challenge Cena, which is a possibility.
Well, that's always a possibility. And that would make this one of the deepest and most star-studded Rumbles of all time.
That'd be pretty crazy. But otherwise, Braun Strowman would have to win the Rumble to set up that feud. Now, there is one other possibility here.
Yes.
Okay. We have the wild card of both Brock Lesnar and Bill Goldberg being in the Rumble, right?
Yes. Yep.
So what if the feud is set up in a way where Lesnar eliminates Goldberg at the Rumble and Goldberg somehow wins the title between the Rumble and WrestleMania? Right? Because at this point, Goldberg has the win. Lesnar's the challenger.
Right.
So Lesnar is entered in to basically tick off Bill Goldberg, or better yet, Goldberg eliminates Lesnar, right? He has that big moment. He's going on to fight for the championship at WrestleMania. I don't know. You could book that either way.
You could.
But basically, one of these guys wins, the other guy wins the title at Fastlane.
You could, but I think their feud is strong enough where they don't need the championship. There are some other things that are not as strong, maybe, and they need the title. I don't think, because this is going to have a special attraction, I don't think they need the title for this one.
Right, but neither does John Cena versus The Undertaker doesn't need the title either. That's a special attraction fight on its own as well.
That's true, so maybe they would just do that match and they wouldn't do it for the title. However, there is a built-in storyline with the title there because of Cena.
Okay, well, that's true. Because the other thing I struggle with...
Could you imagine seeing the Ric Flair running? You're not going to break my record!
That's true. The thing I struggle with, too, is I just have a hard time believing that Braun Strowman is going to beat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
I'm not saying that he would necessarily beat him there, but he could be in that match.
But you're going to undermine him by that much at that level? I mean, I just think that's you're going to kill Braun Strowman in the prime of his momentum.
Well, I would rather see a short Braun Strowman-Roman Reigns match where Braun wins, but it's for the U.S. title.
Yes, I agree. 100%.
But will they do that with Roman? And we're gonna get the answer to that coming up here. Because if Roman leaves the Rumble with the Universal Championship, we will get that answer, I think.
So the other things we have are we're going to have Charlotte versus Bayley, with Bayley winning the championship. And
probably, did you hear about the rumor for the Sasha Banks match?
Uh-huh.
Sasha Banks versus Lita?
I could dig it. I could dig it.
Hmm.
What if Sasha Banks turns heel in the process?
I think she's going to turn heel sometime this coming year.
There we go. That's right. Calling it now.
It's coming. Oh, wait. By the way, we're doing another podcast on Friday. We're going to talk about the year end, and we're going to give some predictions for 2017. Man, I got a fireball prediction coming up for what could happen in 2017, and it's going to blow your mind.
Is it your one bold prediction for 2017?
Oh, it is bold, man, and you are going to flip out. I think you might have to go out running the street and do a happy dance.
Yes.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's plug it real quick. Okay, we are doing a recording an end of the year podcast, so you can listen to it on New Year's Eve and chill out with Between the Ropes.
When you bring in the new year, listen to Between the Ropes.
Perfect. We're going to have best wrestler of the year, best tag team of the year, best match, best feud, best show, best brand. All of that going to be built in to this awesome end of year podcast recap. We'll maybe throw in a few, favorite entertainment stuff from year two, but it's going to be a fun show. We're going to have good categories. So please tune back in and listen. It should be up. We're recording on Friday, just in time.
It'll be up Friday afternoon. A couple other things for WrestleMania. So, do you now believe we could get Bray Wyatt against Randy Orton?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that championship run. So American Alpha won last night on SmackDown.
Hooray!
Good match. They deserved it. I think that's over. I think they're going to get a rematch. I don't think they're winning it back.
Yes, I agree. And I don't know exactly who American Alpha will face, but I think we'll get Randy Orton against Bray.
I mean, you could have American Alpha versus, I don't know, the Revival.
I'd love to see the Revival get called up. That would be rather quick to already put them in the match. I think it's one of those where, as good as the Revival is, that's kind of a slap in the face to some of the other tag teams I've worked all year. And then you bring up a guy, somebody like 2 or 3 months before. And it's not like this is somebody that was like a big star someplace else that you brought in as a special attraction. This is not a Brock Lesnar or a Goldberg situation. So to me, the Revival, I would debut them the night after WrestleMania or the SmackDown after WrestleMania.
And I think who you have challenge them is either going to be a multi-man match, since that's what SmackDown seems keyed up on these days with tag teams, or B, the Usos. They've kind of been sitting in their spot for a while, and that would be a great heel foil to take on American Alpha at a pay-per-view like this.
I would say the Usos, if I had to guess now. So you gotta get them a little bit hot right now. I would say that.
By the way, the tag team division is desperately in need of a shuffle. Can you imagine the fun if some of these tag teams if a New Day was on SmackDown, challenging some of these other teams? I think there would be some good built-in rivalries there. So I hope they get some draft going on after WrestleMania.
Yeah, they might. I mean, we haven't heard anything about that, but never say never. Hey, this year they did not do a Slammies.
Ooh. Good call out. Thank the good Lord above. But good call out.
Around the holidays, that's when they traditionally did the Slammies, and they did not do it this year.
Huh.
I guess they couldn't get Dennis Miller to host.
That's right. That's right.
So he could give dry jokes that people don't understand because it's not his crowd, and he could just kind of look blankly at the camera. They could probably get Bob Barker, though.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh man, if you could get Barker, man, that's good stuff right there. Let's talk about one other guy, and we got to get back to a little SmackDown talk. So when it comes to the Royal Rumble and also potentially WrestleMania, so the talk is heating up now. The rumor mill is in full spin. Could Samoa Joe be called up, and could he debut at the Royal Rumble?
Okay.
Well, there's a couple interesting things going on there. So Samoa Joe, good old S.J. Dot, as he likes to put on the tweets. He has put up a couple of interesting tweets the last couple of days. He has one that is literally a race between a rabbit and a tortoise. And the rabbit jumps out to like this big lead, and the tortoise is just slowly making his way, and the rabbit stops about 2/3 of the way down. And the tortoise keeps going, and the tortoise wins. So the answer to that could be slow and steady wins the race. And it's been a slow and steady progression for Samoa Joe to get to the WWE. So if you want to interpret something, there you go. He also has put out a tweet that said, "You reap what you sow." Okay, here's another very interesting one. WWE a couple of days ago, in fact, yesterday, which would make it Tuesday, put out a nice little video on Twitter. It was a 1 minute video, and it said, "Will history ever repeat itself for John Cena and Samoa Joe? There are a few things to know before deciding." And it's a video showing how they started their careers together in California. And it literally has the first graphic that they have on there is the two of them sitting together and says, "Did you know John Cena and Samoa Joe crossed paths at the start of their careers?" And it goes on to explain how they, you know, worked together in UPW when they started. I don't think that's random that they're throwing that stuff out there, or at least they are feeding the rumor mill and having some fun at people's expenses.
Huh.
And, you know, NXT is doing another taping. I think it's this week. It's very soon. Heck, it might even be tonight. But I look at my calendar here. But they have another taping that's coming up here pretty soon. And if Samoa Joe is not in that taping, I think we will have our answer.
He'll be here. Yeah, he'll be on Raw. Yep. I mean, not on Raw, SmackDown. He'll be on the main roster. You know, that's the feud, right? That's the rivalry I wanted to see for a long time. John Cena versus Samoa Joe. If you did not have John Cena versus Taker in the back of your mind for Mania, I think that's another good feud. But it would depend on where they put Joe, you know?
Right. Well, the next NXT tapings are actually next Thursday, January 5th.
Okay.
So if Joe is not on that show, now mind you, just because you don't appear in front of the crowd doesn't mean you're not on the show.
Right.
I mean, but, you know.
Interesting. Now, possibilities are endless.
They are. Now, Goldberg is going to be at Raw on Monday. I'm actually going to be there. I'm going to slum it down to Tampa. Jeez almighty. God.
Home with a scummer.
I need to buy some insurance before then.
Body vest, a bullet jacket, whatever they call those things.
Yeah.
Bullet jacket.
I need to get a bodyguard. do you think Lesnar's going to be there?
No.
Yeah, probably not.
They're going to save that for Rumble.
What a bummer.
Bummer.
I'd love to see Lesnar and Goldberg there, but yep.
Goldberg come out and say? Does he come out and say, "You're all next again"? Like, what does this look like?
No, remember Heyman did that promo where he said that Brock is going to be in the Rumble now and he's gunning for you and he's pissed off and he's embarrassed and la, la, la. So he's going to answer that.
Gotcha. Will there be CM Punk chants on Raw Monday night?
No, I don't think so. They got it on both Raw and SmackDown. Man, Stephanie came armed with a shutdown for that thing, man.
And she did a hell of a job in delivering it.
She killed it, man. What was the line? She said, "Keep that up for another 2:15 and you'll last longer than CM Punk."
Yep.
Which his fight lasted 2:14, you know?
Can we chat about, speaking of CM Punk, the conversation around Brock Lesnar's settlement being out for a year, whether or not he'll go back to... I know we chatted a little bit about that last week.
Do you want to finish up SmackDown first?
Oh, yeah, SmackDown. And, you know...
I don't know what... Well, there's really not that much to talk about. I mean, so...
The women's match was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, they had that weird ending, though. The La Luchadora. Dude,
yeah.
So Alexa Bliss is double-jointed, right?
God, yes.
She has to be double-jointed.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That was crazy, man.
Oh, my Lord.
So they do that thing with Becky Lynch going for the disarmer, and Alexa Bliss's arm looks like it pops out of socket, like right at the elbow, and it's like hanging there crookedly, and everybody's like disgusted by it. And the next thing you know, there's some interference by another woman in a mask, and, you know, Alexa Bliss, she is able to get another move, and she makes a pin against Becky, and she is like looking at her arm a little bit, but she doesn't seem that bothered by it. And I think they've been holding out on this one for a while.
That was nice. I had to go back and rewatch that segment. And I was like, oh God. But then the way she moves it back real quickly and the way that whole segment was set up, there's no way that it was legitimately popped out of socket. She was too able to brush it off afterwards.
She's like Mel Gibson, man, in Lethal Weapon with a shoulder. You can pop out of socket.
Yeah.
Now mind you, he has to scream in holy terror when he pops it back in, you know, but yeah. I mean, that dude was able to get out of, you know, he was tied up in a bag with a chain around it, and he was able to get out of that. Was he in a straitjacket even? He was in a straitjacket, and he was able to get out of that because he could just pop his shoulder out.
Yep. good match, though, and Alexa Bliss here is, you know, again, she's just so good as that heel about looking just completely perturbed with you. And she gets a win here thanks to interference, but she's a legitimate main event women's competitor now.
She's made the most out of this opportunity she's been given.
Yes.
By the way, I mean, I know they can't do this every week on SmackDown, but man, that show felt so important. Mm-hmm. It felt so important. And they've already, you know, they do one smart thing every week in that they promote what's coming up next week. So next week they're going to do Dean Ambrose against The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship. And Dean Ambrose put a SmackDown on Miz, you know, on that show. So,
yeah,
you know, they build stuff up and they promote it. Now, on Raw, they have promoted a match, and it's Strowman against Zayn in the Last Man Standing match. But it seems like they do that fewer and far between. SmackDown has a better grasp on promoting upcoming shows.
Well, and SmackDown normally promotes a championship match of some kind, right? They're not just out there giving away, even if it's AJ Styles versus whoever, random jobber number three, right? But they're promoting title matches, and that gets viewers to come in. A Last Man Standing match has some intrigue, but it's not the same as an Intercontinental Championship match. It's got a feud built in between Dolph Ziggler and The Miz.
So who do you think is La Luchadora?
Ooh.
I know Alexa Bliss afterwards took a couple of guesses and she said, oh, it's Sasha Banks. And they said, no, that woman's bigger. She goes, oh, you're right. Maybe it's Nia Jax. Which is two extremes right there when you talk about size. Yep. Okay.
I have no idea. I'm not
sure. Do you think it's
sure.
Mickey James?
I had that thought. Mickey James is a possibility, but are they ready to move her up to the main roster already?
Well, Mickey's going to be on SmackDown.
So are they ready to put her up there, though? That's kind of my question.
I believe she just did her physicals. So I think she could. I don't know. I mean, when you saw the person staying there in the mask, it kind of looked like that person was African-American, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It did.
So, you know who it is? It's Naomi.
Is it?
Is she on SmackDown?
I don't know.
God. Oh, man. Now I got to look up WWE rosters. Damn
it. Oh, it is Naomi. You're right.
Yeah.
It's got to be her.
I just thought about it. I was just like,
yeah, it's got to be her because she is on SmackDown. I do remember her feuding. Yep.
We just couldn't tell her because she didn't have her glowing shoes on.
That would have been a dead giveaway. Funny how that works.
A little bit of a giveaway. Yeah. So, yeah, that's probably who it is then. And that makes sense. So, by the way, I brought Miz. So talking smack, Dean Ambrose came out at one point and was talking with Renee and JBL, was talking about, you know, having to go out there and beat up on Miz and whatnot, and he's going to challenge him next week for the Intercontinental Championship. And Dean Ambrose said this, which I'm sure probably infuriates some people and makes some other people happy, but it's an interesting question to throw out there. Because Miz, I believe, is a five-time, six-time Intercontinental Champion.
Uh-huh.
He's a former world champion. Dean Ambrose went out of his way to say, Miz is building up this Hall of Fame career, and he is a Hall of Famer.
Wait, it upset people that Dean Ambrose said Miz is a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
I wonder why?
Because I'm sure that's going to, well, there's some people that just don't like Miz.
But I get it. I'm biased. I like The Miz. Everybody knows that. It's a given, right? But The Miz is, first off, doing great work. Right now, he's doing some of the best work of his career. Secondly, the guy has won almost every championship the company has. Yeah. He's won tag team titles. He's won Intercontinental, United States, a multi-time United States Intercontinental champion. He's won the main prize, and he's still going, and he's a company ambassador. He's been around for how many years now? The guy is good at what he does, and he's having great matches now, too. I guess I don't see why people get upset by that. He's having better matches than your boy Dean Ambrose, you know? For those people out there, I know you're not Dean Ambrose.
I mean, I think it's an interesting argument. I agree with Dean. I mean, especially if you look at the WWE Hall of Fame.
True.
Then he absolutely is a Hall of Famer. I mean, there's plenty of other guys. I mean, you can't tell me Sheamus isn't going to be a Hall of Famer.
Right. Right.
And he should be. You know,
I mean, for Pete's sake, he's accomplished more than Rikishi has throughout his career.
Sure.
Who was the guy with the bird that got in a couple of years ago?
You're talking about Coco Beware?
Coco Beware. What's Coco Beware ever done?
He was a colorful character back in the 80s.
Okay, colorful character. He's not a Hall of Fame level champion, though.
That's the WWE Hall of Fame.
Well, exactly. Donald Trump is in your WWE Hall of Fame.
Oh, God, don't even remind me of that. Jeez, why'd you have to do that?
Honky Tonk Man, right? Honky Tonk Man.
You know what? I don't have a problem with Honky Tonk Man being in there.
Whatever.
I don't. colorful character from the 80s. He's cool, he's cocky, he's bad. Where are you going before I stopped you from talking about whatever and I pulled you back over to SmackDown talk?
Pulled me back over to SmackDown talk. I don't know. I probably had some good insight that you ruined, but that's okay.
Probably. So Samoa Joe, when we talked about the rumors there, at this time of the year, we always wonder about what other talent could possibly be coming over to WWE. Nobody from New Japan. And I mean, the Young Bucks have already re-signed and they signed a 2-year deal to stay with New Japan and with Ring of Honor. And Kenny Omega is under contract for, we believe, another year. And he's got the huge match coming up at Wrestle Kingdom coming up here in just a couple of weeks where he'll challenge for the IWGP Championship. But there's always Ring of Honor. And we haven't heard too much about Ring of Honor talent. We've been wondering about that because Ring of Honor will traditionally announce when guys have signed. And we're starting to see that now. So Jay Lethal has apparently signed a new 2-year contract to remain with Ring of Honor, which... Yes. To me, he was one of the guys that, you know, I really looked at saying, okay, does he want to stay with Ring of Honor and other places, or is he ready to make the jump? I mean, if I'm WWE, I'm very interested in him. I don't know what the interest level is or was, but he has apparently made the decision. Ring of Honor has not announced it, but I know PW Torch announced it. Sean Radican over there did. So I believe my word that Jay Lethal has signed for 2 years to remain with Ring of Honor, and that means he could... You can work New Japan probably and some other places. We haven't heard about some other guys as well, and we're still waiting to hear about that. When it comes to Adam Cole, his contract isn't up for a couple more months. We believe that's in April, so that's going to be an interesting situation when that comes. It's no surprise WWE has been hot on his trail for a couple of years now. But yeah. I guess we're just kind of a wait-and-see pattern right now to see who else from Ring of Honor is going to stay put or if they're going to end up leaving.
It's worrisome. On the one hand, I'm a little bit concerned about the number of talents that are jumping ship to WWE to be in NXT. I think it's awesome for WWE. I think it's awesome for the fans. But the indies they're losing a lot of good people because the WWE has so many spots to fill these days, it seems.
But at the same time, there's other guys that come up. You get the Will Ospreys, you get the Marty Scurllss, you get the Tommy Ends. Yeah, I mean, and you're seeing even now, more so than ever, you're seeing this influx of great talent coming from Europe.
Yes.
You know, that are coming over and they're working Ring of Honor, they're working New Japan, and they're working PWG. So, yes. WWE is being aggressive in going after guys, but at the same time, and by the way, Tommy End is now with WWE, but you are seeing other guys quickly fill those slots.
True.
And there's going to be some guys that just say, you know what? I'm not ready to go yet. Or I'm just not going to go. I'm happy with the situation I'm at right now.
But here's the thing about it though, Brian, listen, and I heard this on a podcast with a very popular wrestler the other day. These guys are coming into WWE. They get these feuds like these factions like the Nexus going, right? The Nexus was a huge angle back in the day. But then you had Big Match John Cena coming through and saying that he's just out for himself. You know, he's a non-competitive star. And he puts down guys like Wade Barrett, who was the brains of the Nexus, and the big guy who was the physical leader of the Nexus, right?
Have you been listening to the Ryback's podcast again?
I mean, you know, I just not that I'm going to say that I'm hungry or anything, but feed me more. Mm. Feed me more.
You want Snickers?
Oh, my Lord. That was a terrible segue, but those are some funny comments, right? Ryback, again, pissing and moaning.
He's not a fan of John Cena.
Even though he had a feud with John Cena that put him on the map as much as anything else in the world.
I don't know who's the fault for what happened after that, but WWE, for whatever reason, I mean, he was hot, and for whatever reason, they decided not to go farther with him. So I understand him being upset. I don't know if his anger is pointed at the right guy, and he would know more about that than we would, but he's obviously frustrated about it.
But here's my thing about it. It's become very obvious to WWE, if you are the right kind of person for that company and you handle your business the right way, there are opportunities, right? The Miz is a prime example of this. He was down to mid-carder status after his championship run. He was down to pre-show status, and he's back, right? He just found his spot, and he worked for it, and he re-earned it. Ryback comes off as soured grapes now.
Well, I think there's a lot of times with guys in WWE, whether you like this or not, I really believe that in most cases, WWE puts you through a tester.
Yes.
And that you will get hot. And even if it's adverse to business, It doesn't happen every time, but it happens most times. That just when you think you're ready to take that next step, they cool you off. And I think some of that is done because they want a transition period with the audience, but they also want to see how you react. Are you going to piss and moan about it? Or are you going to be a business guy? Are you going to handle things the correct way? And I think they wanted to see your reaction to how you handle that. And if they say, yes, this is a guy that we can go all the way with or not. I really believe that they, I mean, there are some cases where they say, hey, we're going with the guy. Yeah. I mean, look at Sheamus. That dude was in, you know, he was in ECW for a short time. They put him, you know, on Raw and SmackDown. And a couple months later, boom. You know, he beats John Cena for the championship.
Yep.
And he was a made guy at that point. But there are definitely some other guys. I mean, go back in the day. Edge had been around for a while. They put the world championship on Edge. I think they already knew what they had with him. It was more of a how would the audience take him. And remember, he won the championship. 3 weeks later, they took the championship off of him. And it took a while before he got it back. But during those 3 weeks, it looked like there was an uptick in ratings. And, you know, they like what they got. But there are some guys that are going to be newer with the company that maybe have not been around for as long as a guy like Edge. And they say, right. We see something in this guy. So let's give him a push. Okay, the crowd is asking for it. They put him in a position. Okay, we can do something with him here. But then they want to say, let's pull back a little bit, let everybody adjust, and let's see how does he take this. How does he react to this if we pull back a little bit? Is he still going to be hungry? Is he still going to fight for it? Or is he going to complain?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I think you're right.
That they, you know, like I said, it can be adverse to business, but they want to test guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like we've got other guys that can fill that slot. If you are not going to be up for it, guess what? That slot is up for grabs.
And some guys have a run. Jack Spargo's a prime example of it. And it just feels like there's never been the right spot for him to come back into it, you know?
Yes, absolutely. So when you talk about, you know, WWE going after all these different guys, so Kenny Omega did an interview with UproXX, and he was talking obviously about the upcoming Wrestle Kingdom show, and he was asked about guys signing with WWE. He was talking about a lot of good friends are now working there. They're receiving money. It's great. He goes, sadly, there's a lot of guys that are signing there just to ride the pine. And he said, you can't put everybody on TV. On one end, you have these mom and pop indie superstars getting TV time, and people all around the world are able to see the art of what they do. In a lot of cases, they're enjoying it, which is fantastic. I'm really happy about that. But he also said, as everybody gets picked up, all these independent promotions have to shut down and close their doors because of WWE scooping everybody up. He went on to say, you're going to run out of options. I want to be one of the options for people. You want to go eat a McDonald's hamburger? That's cool. McDonald's can be good. Do I like it every day? Do I want to eat McDonald's 7 days a week? Probably not. Eventually, I'm going to want to go someplace for a AAA grade steak. I may not necessarily have the traffic flow of McDonald's, but guess what? The quality is there. And it's for the distinguished wrestling viewer, people who are wanting something more out of their programming. That's what I want to provide for people in 2017.
Huh.
I mean, I get where he's coming from. And to some extent, I agree. I don't think I don't know how many indie promotions are shutting down. There obviously has been some. I don't think WWE's goal necessarily is to shut down indies. I mean, their goal is we're going to do the best business that we can. If that means going out and signing other guys,
then, right?
You know, so be it. We're not going to not do something because we got to take care of all these indies. No, we're going to do what's best for ourselves.
Yeah.
But they're not going out. They're not grabbing everybody. I mean, we'll see over the next few weeks and months, you know, what other guys they've signed. But, you know, there's a choice on both ends of it, too. I mean, guys don't necessarily have to. If they're in a good position, they don't necessarily have to. I understand it's the show and you want to get there at some point, to the point where you'll even take a pay cut to go to NXT in some instances. The hope that you will be up on the main roster and be making more money and be on a bigger platform than ever before. But there's going to be some guys that say, hey, you know what? If I go there, I also have to understand I'm playing by their rules, and maybe I cannot perform the art that I enjoy. I cannot have the same kind of stuff matches that I can, and it's going to be different. So there's give and take on both sides. And yes, WWE is aggressive at going after guys, and we'll see who else they get. But it's not the end-all, be-all. I think it's good for competition. If it takes another step or two to where you can really see a lot of guys making that choice and it hurting the independents, that's where it becomes a problem. And right now, I think we're really in this golden age of independence.
Here's my thing. We talked about this a few weeks ago about how there really is an opportunity for stars to go out, like Cody Rhodes has done, like the Young Bucks have done, to make a career of it by traveling across the indies, doing independent promotions, and really re-cementing their status as pro wrestling celebrities through that route, right? Cody Rhodes is going to be hotter than he ever was before he left, after he comes back, if he comes back to WWE at some point in the future, right? Because he's doing it his way. But not everybody can do that. Stars like Jay Lethal have found a niche for themselves in Ring of Honor. And he decided to stay there for two more years, cash in a little bit, right? That's a safe spot for him. He's been in TNA before. He likes where he is with Ring of Honor, and they're paying him good money to do it. I think all of that is great. What my concern is there is no talent pool, or there is less of a talent pool for Ring of Honor to pull in big names. They're having to grow their own talent at a much higher rate than they used to have to. Used to be a guy they could pull in, oh, this guy's a name in TNA, we'll bring him back to Ring of Honor. It helps give our shows some juice. And these days, it really does feel like they're having to do a little bit more of a let's develop our own talent, and then those talent leaves, which is how it was 15 years ago, you know? So it's curious. I said earlier about the whole indie thing. I don't think the indies are going to die or going to go away anytime soon. I think you're right. We are in a golden age. But I could see this becoming a problem as WWE continues to expand its content offerings dramatically. I hope the rate of talent that we get in this country continues to expand as well.
But I will say this about Ring of Honor. There is name recognition that comes with that brand. And sure, there are so many different guys that have come from there that have gone on to be even bigger stars on WWE. And there is prestige that comes with working with Ring of Honor. So I don't think they are going to have as much of a problem. I mean, I think there's plenty of good talent that still wants to go work for them. That's why I mentioned, like, they just signed Will Ospreay. They just signed Marty Skrull. Cody Rhodes is going to be doing more work for them coming up here. And we'll see what other guys that they are able to add here in the coming months, and we'll see if they actually lose some guys. It's a constant kind of thing in motion. They lose some guys, they get some guys. You always want it to balance out. There's been some times where it's been a little bit tougher. It forces their hand. They have to take some of the guys that are that have been there for a while and put them in a bigger position. Some guys rise to that challenge. Maybe some other guys don't. But that's just kind of where Ring of Honor is at. But I will say this, there's so much good talent that is out there, especially now that we're seeing more guys come from Europe, especially, I still think Ring of Honor is in a really good position. I think the indies that could be in trouble are definitely going to be the really, really small ones, the really localized ones. There's some that are doing really good, you know, like MCW, which used to be known as Maryland Championship Wrestling. They're now MCW Pro Wrestling. They've been around for a while. They're in a good position. They're not going to go anywhere. AAW out of Chicago. They're in a good spot. They're not going anywhere. There's a group or two that's in Texas. But when you talk about some of these really small local ones, maybe they are going to be the ones that are in trouble because, you know, they bring in a star or two, and maybe they just can't afford to do that. Or, hey, there's not as many guys to go around because they have these deals to where, hey, I'm going to be working Ring of Honor. I'm going to be working New Japan. I'm going to be working PWG. I don't have time to go work these other places. And that's where it could hurt them.
Yeah, you're right. I think I think that's who gets hurt is the smaller indies.
It could. I mean, we'll have to see. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I don't have my thumb on the pulse at as much. But I mean, we'll hear about it if that really starts happening. Especially if there's some that have been around for a while, they're a little bit more established and they're having trouble. You know,
all I know is that America's Most Liked is getting ready to celebrate their 2-year anniversary show. So there you go. AML Wrestling, America's Most Liked.
There you go, man. When are you going to start working for them?
I've tried. I put in my application. I wanted to be a tag team champion, and they just rejected it.
I would like to be a tag team champion. Yeah. Would you please review my resume and get back to me as soon as possible? Thank you for your consideration.
I used selfie stick and got some good headshots in there and sent in my resume between the ropes. I said, listen, I've been between the ropes for a long time now. So
my wife got a selfie stick for Christmas.
Nice. Y'all taking selfies everywhere?
No. We haven't even used it yet. It's still in a box somewhere. We were laughing when we got it for a gift.
How do I put my Nikon DSLR into the selfie stick? How does that work?
I don't think it does work like that.
I just put it out there and it just like duct tape or something?
It's a little weighty.
Okay. So I need to get a thinner selfie stick is what you're saying.
I would say you probably need something a little bit thicker because that camera is heavy.
Like a Festivus pole, would that work?
Yes, that would work. Just get some duct tape and Slam it right on the end of that.
Gotcha. Festivus pole plus Nikon DSLR for my selfie. Got it.
Yes. So a quick reminder for a couple of things, everybody. Please support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. Anything that you can share with us there would be tremendous in helping us keep going, doing what we're doing. Even for as little as $1 a month would help us out tremendously. And we've said that time and time again. It is true. Anything you can give there is great. Like I said, go to patreon.com/betweentheropes and you can support us there. We are going to be back on Friday with our year-end podcast talking about a bunch of different things from 2016 and what we liked and what really stood out and whatnot. And we will give some predictions for 2017, which is already shaping up to be a pretty interesting year.
There will be more wrestling in 2017 than there was in 2016.
Probably right.
You will fire me from the podcast.
No, I don't think so. Well, it depends. Darn it. We got to see what you do. You're on thin ice, but yeah.
You know. Oh, good.
But we will be talking about that. Remember, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, rate and review us, give us some nice words, give us kind of any kind of words, and please rate us well. We hope you like the podcast, and that's why you continue to listen. You can also find us on Stitcher, and we are on Google Play, we're on the TuneIn app, and you can find us on SoundCloud as well. Follow Mikey on Twitter, it's at The Real Wiseman. I am at Brian Fritz. I'm glad you had a great holidays, man. And
thanks, man.
We got New Year's coming up. I'm sure that you are loading up for midnight coming up.
I'm already loaded, dude. I'm already loaded.
You're already
11
loaded.
11 o'clock in the morning. So.
That does not surprise me whatsoever. I think you ended up finding some Irish whiskey for that coffee of yours. So,
right.
Thanks again, everybody. We appreciate all the support. Glad you're listening. We'll talk to you again on Friday right here, Between the Ropes.